This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala ashrafi al-anbiya wa al-mursaleen. Muhammad wa Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Tasliman kathiran kathira. Famma ba'du, my dear brothers and sisters. We are on our class of living Islam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu to enable us to live by Islam and to die on Islam. We ask Allah to decree that we always do things which will please Him, and that He takes us in a state when He is pleased with us, Jalla Jalaluhu. I want to narrate for you the beautiful story of the three people who were trapped in a cave that Rasulullah ﷺ told us, which illustrates a very important aspect of life, which is to do things for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in secret. To do things in secret only for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not even to tell anybody about these things. I want to specially emphasize that because we live in a world today where everything which should have been private has become public. There was a time when we used to write diaries, and if our own parents, I remember as children, if a child had his diary, and if the father or mother looked at that diary, the child would become, you know, completely insane with rage. It's, how did you do that? Why did you do that? You invaded my privacy. And today, it's the opposite reaction. When we put our most intimate details onto Facebook or Instagram or something, and if people don't see it, if we don't get any thumbs up for it, or you don't get any views on it, then we become very angry. So nobody is interested in me. La hawla quwwata illa billah. The world has completely changed 180 degrees. What was supposed to be private is public, and what should have been public, Allah knows where it is. Whether it's private or not, we don't know. So it is very important to have something. What is the secret between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Right? So let us try to think about that and say, what is it that I do which only I know and my Rabb knows? And we see the power of that. Why should you do that? And that is, I think that nothing illustrates that more powerfully or better than this beautiful hadith of Rasulullah ﷺ. Narrated Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, that Rasulullah ﷺ said, and remember, all such stories that we get from Rasulullah ﷺ, these are true stories, they happened, they are historically correct. These are not illustration stories, these are not just parables, these are not stories which are told to us to make a point. These are actual historical events, and we have this belief as part of our Iman bil Ghaib that there are things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught to His Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for the purpose of instructing us, and these things are true and we believe them. So narrated Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, while three people were traveling, they were overtaken by rain. There was this torrential shower of rain. And they took shelter in a cave in a mountain. Now, because of the rain, there was a landslide, and a big rock fell from the mountain over the mouth of the cave and blocked it. Imagine the state of those people. These three men were inside this cave, and they thought that they were safe from the rain when a rock slid across from the top, came and blocked the mouth of the cave. Now that is certain death. There's no way of getting out of the cave. They can't dig themselves out from the cave. They will die a horrible death inside that cave in complete and total pitch darkness. What are they facing? They're facing a complete calamity. And they're facing a calamity in a situation where there is no hope of anyone else coming to save them. I mean, from the inside the cave, they can't, you know, phone somebody or whatever, right? I mean, there are no search parties out, and there's nobody who knows where they are. More than likely, even if someone comes close to the cave, and even if these people are screaming from inside the cave, nobody can hear them because of this huge rock. So it's a totally hopeless situation, completely hopeless. But these were believers, these were Muslims, these were people who had faith and tawakkul on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they didn't lose hope, they didn't get desperate, they didn't panic. They said to each other, think of such good or righteous deeds which you did for only for Allah's sake, and invoke Allah and make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with that deed as the wasila, with that deed as the reference, so that Allah may relieve us from this difficulty. Right? So imagine Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so real to them. And may Allah make this real for us. Allah is real. The question is he real to me? So here are these people for whom they are not saying, oh, we are in a hopeless situation, nobody can help us. No, no, no. The only one who can help us can still help us, and that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what is the route? What must I do? What is the number that I need to dial? And the number I need to dial is to look at myself and say, what is it that I did? Only for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Only to please Allah. There was nothing else in this deed. We are looking here at ikhlasun niyyah. We are looking here at the sincerity of the heart, the sincerity of the intention. And here are these people who say that what's the level of my sincerity? What deed did I do in my life? And he's saying only one is enough, inshallah. What did I do in my life which was done only and only to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Let me think about that and let me make dua and say, Ya Allah, I did this for your sake and you are the witness. So I ask you, I beg you, I plead with you, please relieve me from this suffering. So they made this dua, and one of them said, the first one said, Oh Allah, I had parents who were very old, and I had small children, for whose sake I used to work as a shepherd. When I returned to them at night, and I milked the sheep, I used to start giving the milk to my parents first, before giving it to my children. He said, one day, to graze my sheep, I went far away in search of grazing, and I didn't return home until late at night. And when I did get home, I found that my parents had fallen asleep. Now, I milked my livestock as usual and brought the milk vessel and stood at their head. They were sleeping. I stood there in the room. But I didn't want to wake them up. Because they were sleeping, I disliked to wake them up from their sleep. And I also did not want to give the milk to my children before my parents, though my children were hungry and they were crying at my feet. And I stood in this state of mind till the day dawned, till the morning came. And he made the dua and he said, O Allah, if you considered that I had done that only to seek your pleasure, then please let there be an opening through which we can see the sky. Now, Rasulullah said, so Allah made for them an opening through which they could see the sky. Now, here is this person who did this deed, serving his parents, and he did this. It couldn't have been easy for him because he loved both his children as well as his parents. But he gave precedence to the parents. They were very old. He didn't want to disturb them. He honored them. And he said, O Allah, if you like this deed, please make an opening so we can see the sky. Now, my submission to you is this, and this is really the thought in my heart, and I hope I am right, and I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that I should be right. which is that when you make dua, do not specify, do not make limitations on this dua. Because the point is that this person made a dua and Allah accepted the dua, and if this person had made a dua saying, Ya Allah, remove this rock and free us, Allah would have done that. Right? It was not difficult for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But he specified in his dua, Oh Allah, make an opening so we can see the light. We are still imprisoned. We are still inside this place. We still can't get out. Right? So do not specify this. We do this all the time. This is a very natural thing for us. A very dear brother of mine, he went for Hajj with his parents. And there, both of them got very sick. And he said to me, I made dua and I said, Oh Allah, don't allow me to fall sick until I get back home. Right? He said, I don't know why I made this kind of dua. But he said, I made this dua. Don't allow me to fall sick here until I get back home, because I need to take care of my parents. And if I also get sick, then what happens? So he took care of his parents, alhamdulillah. They finished their Hajj. Everybody did that. He said, we got onto the plane. He said, we landed in Hyderabad. The plane landed. The seatbelt sign went off. He said, I stood up to take my luggage from the overhead locker and I fell down. He collapsed. Alhamdulillah, he's well now. But that sickness hit him. And he said, I know this happened because of the kind of dua I made. I said, don't let me fall sick until I get home. So don't make duas like this. That kind of dua is not useful. I did it myself. May Allah protect me from myself. I was also in Hajj. And I finished, everything in Mina and all that after Hajj. And I came to do my tawaf. And I had an umbrella and I had my shoes. It was a very hot, it was in July, so it was extremely hot. So I decided, I can't take this thing take the shoes and the umbrella and manage all of that while I'm doing tawaf, because it was a huge, huge, huge crowd. It was absolute hujum. And so I took up in the haram the Malik Fahad side of the masjid, which is air conditioned on top. So I took these things up there, I put them in one place, and I said, Ya Allah, I really need my shoes more than I need the umbrella. So at least the shoes should not go missing from here. So this is the, sort of thought in my mind of dua I made, that between these two, as if it is difficult for Allah to protect both. We are our own limitations, and the way we think is our own biggest problem. So I said, I hope I don't, my shoes should be safe, because I can't walk barefoot all the way back to Mina. That whole Hajj I did walking. So then I went down, I did Tawaf, I did Sa'i, and the crowd was such that, in Sa'i, I felt that if I die, my body will not fall down. They will carry the dead body in the whole Sa'i, because of the way we were literally smashed against each other. When all of that finished, I came back. I went to the place where I had kept my shoes and umbrella. The umbrella was gone, the shoes were there. So I made tawbah, I made istighfar. I said, Ya Allah, this is my fault. I made this, langdi dua. I made this lame dua. I put boundaries on your greatness and glory. So may Allah protect us from ourselves. In this story, this man, he made this dua and he said, make an opening so we can see the sky, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made this opening. I'm saying that again, please, may Allah forgive me if I'm wrong. If he had made a dua, say, remove the rock, Allah would have removed the rock. So when you make dua, one is do something which is only between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Halaka sirrun indallah baynaka anta wa bayna Allah. Is there a secret of yours with Allah, which is only between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? This beautiful nasheed, which is very, very beautifully sung by this African brother. I don't know who he is, but very beautiful. Hallaka sirrun inda Allah, bainaka anta wa bain Allah. Do deeds in secret which only Allah knows. Don't tell anybody about it. Allah knows that this is enough. And then use them as wasail for yourself when you are really, really in need of something. Ask Allah. So this happened. Now they can see the sky. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then mentioned. Then the second person, he said, "Oh Allah, I had this this girl cousin who I loved as much as a passionate man loves a woman. And I tried to seduce her." So, you know, love, lust, whatever you want to call it. "I tried to seduce her and she refused." Now this girl was a poor girl, this guy had money. So she was in need also of money. So when he was trying to seduce her, one day she said to him, "Pay me 100 dinars, you know, gold coin." So he said, "Then I worked hard till I collected 100 dinars, then I went to her and I gave her this 100 dinars. And then he said, "When I was about to have intercourse with her, she said, 'Ya Abdullah, ittaqullah.' He said, 'Oh slave of Allah, fear Allah.' He said, do not have intercourse except after marriage, because Allah has made this haram." She was helpless, she was poor, and this man had paid this money to her, which she had said. But then she remembered Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, "Ya Allah, when this happened," I imagine his state, he is in this total passion, he really wants to do this thing, it's in his, within his reach, he can do it. And at that time she said, "Fear Allah." And he said, "Ya Allah, I left her, I didn't touch her, I did not even take the money, I just went away. Because I was afraid of you, because I was seeking your pleasure." And he said, "Ya Allah, if that is really the case, if I was seeking your pleasure, then please move this rock a little more." Once again, dua which is deficient in that sense. But may Allah protect us. We are all human, we have our own, you know, limitations. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shifted that rock to make an opening which was wider. But remember, they still can't get out. And the last person, he said, "Oh Allah, I employed a laborer for wages equal to a faraq, which is a certain quantity of rice. And when he had finished his job, he demanded his wages. But when I presented his due to him, he gave it up and refused to take it." Now, we don't know what happened. Some issue between him and the man. So the man does the work for the day, and the wage is a pre-agreed amount. And at the end of the day, when the wage is given to the man, he walks away. He just doesn't take the wage. So this man says, the one who's making the dua, he says, "Ya Allah, I took that rice, I kept this rice, and I used it as seed, and I sowed the rice, and I kept on sowing the rice season after season, and from this rice, the profit of that, I bought some cows, and I had a shepherd with the price of all that, and this flock of this herd of cows also grew." And he said, finally, after a certain period of time, must be a couple of years or several years, this man came back to me and he said to me, "Ya Abdullah," he said, "Oh slave of Allah, fear Allah and do not be unjust to me, and give me my due." Ajib, people are, when the man was giving him his due, he didn't take it. And now he's coming and implying that the man is unjust. And imagine the whole, think about this whole thing in the human context of it. this person who was the employer, he could have been offended. He could have said, "Look, I mean, you are a crazy man. I mean, you know, when you finish your work, I was giving you the your wages. You didn't want to take it. You walked away, and now you are coming here, and you are threatening me, and you are saying fear Allah and this and that, and don't be unjust. Where am I unjust? I was very just. I was giving you the thing. You didn't take it. If there is anyone unjust, you are the one who's unjust." He could have had all this argument. He didn't do that. He did not do that. He said, I said to him, "Go and take those cows and that shepherd." He said, "Those are all yours." And the man said, he went and took them all away. And he said, "Oh Allah, if you like that, if that was something that pleased you and it was sincerely for you, then please remove this rock completely." And Rasulullah said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala release them from their difficulty. And this is in Sahih Bukhari. My brothers and sisters, I remind myself anew. Let us think about this and say that what do we learn from this? What is the beautiful lesson that we learn from this story of these three people who made dua, and each of them had something which they had done purely for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and because of that they were able to make a dua which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted. I remind myself anew that every single one of us has this opportunity. We have the opportunity of living our lives in a way where we quietly do something for the pleasure of Allah alone. And alone, only Allah must know this. Do these deeds, whatever it is, whether it is charity, whether it is kindness to somebody, whether it is standing in the night in tahajjud and praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whatever the nature of the deed, do it and ensure that you don't publicize it. Don't mention it to anybody. Something must be kept secret only between you and Allah. And we have different ways, unfortunately, we have different ways of publicizing. Some things we do publicly, directly, and some things we do indirectly. For example, if somebody says to you, "Please make dua for me," and you say to the person, "Oh, I made dua for you in tahajjud." Now, my point is, what is the need for that? Just say, "I made dua for you. Alhamdulillah, you did it in tahajjud. Let your tahajjud be a secret between you and Allah. There's no need to tell the world about it." So do something which is only for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and keep it. Because you never know when you need it. And if you have it, then you can use it in order to invoke the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then, also as I said, do it in a way, and when you make dua, ask Allah in keeping with His majesty and grace. Don't restrict Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in your dua. Obviously, you are not restricting and you cannot restrict. By restrict, I mean, don't make the dua in a way which seems to be as if you are asking somebody who has restrictions and limitations on what he can do. Allah asked us to ask Him. Ud'uni. That's it. Ask me. Allah did not say, "Ask me, but keep in mind what the doctor told you. Ask me, but keep in mind the laws of physics. Ask me, but keep in mind which country you are living in and what is the law of the land. What is possible and what is not possible according to the rules of IRS or income tax, or according to the rules of your town laws or whatever." Allah didn't say all this. Allah said, "Uduni, ask me." How should I ask you? Ask me the way I am. And how is Allah to us? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "Ana inda zanni abdi bi." I am for my slave as he thinks I am. So I think, and this is the reality of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that my Rabb Jalla Jalaluhu has no limitations whatsoever. No limitations. He is capable of doing anything that he chooses. He says, be and it is. Kun fayakun. Whatever he commands, whatever he wants, he can command. Yahkumu ma yurid. Whatever he wishes, he can do. Yaf'alu ma yasha. And he has control over everything. Wa huwa ala kulli shay'in qadir. This is Allah. Jalla jalaluhu. And that is why we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My brothers and sisters, it might look like it's a superfluous reminder, but you know, we all need reminders. Let me remind you of myself. We do not worship a superman. We do not worship a super being who is really like us but has some special powers. No. لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٌ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. Allah said, Allah is not like anything in the creation. He is the all-seeing and the all-hearing. All-hearing and all-seeing. سَمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. So when you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ask in keeping with that, in keeping with His majesty and grace, in keeping with His magnificence, in keeping with His greatness and glory. Don't ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as if you are asking somebody like yourself. No. If Allah can do anything, then ask Allah to do that which appears to you to be impossible. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Himself, and I'm saying all this not only because of, you know, my what's in my heart, but because of actual dalail from the Quran. In Surah Maryam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the dua of Zakariya alayhi salam. And Allah said, "Is nada rabbahu nida an khafiya." He said, he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a small voice. And he said, "Oh Allah, I have become old. My head, my hair has become white. My bones have become weak. My wife, she is beyond the age of childbearing." Right? She is not fertile anymore. She cannot bear, have children anymore. She is incapable of it. She is far older than that. But he said, "Oh Allah, give me an heir. Give me a child to carry forward this work of Dawah. Give me an heir. Give me a waris." He did not say, "Give me a second wife. From whom give me an heir." No. I am old. My hair is white, my bones are weak, I am incapable of, probably incapable of producing children. My wife, she is beyond the age of bearing children. But give me an heir. Why? And why am I asking this? Because you, for you, none of these are limitations. Why am I mentioning this? Because this is my ubudiyat. This is my role as a slave, that I bring forward before you and I present to you the hopelessness and the weakness and the pain and the suffering of my situation. But when I ask you, I don't ask you in keeping with all of this. I don't ask you, "Allah, I'm weak," and so on, so give me a little bit. No. I'm asking the one who has no limitations. I'm asking the one who has no conditions. I'm asking the one who has no boundaries. I'm asking the one who is completely and totally free from all needs and wants. Hu Allahu al-Ahad. Allahu Samad. I'm asking the one who has no need. I am asking the one who fulfills the need of every single one of his creatures, from the most magnificent and glorious of them, who is Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. to the least of them. From the biggest to the minutest. Allah fulfills all their needs. Multiple needs, multifarious needs, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fulfills all of them simultaneously. Right? I'm asking him. Yes, I may have an ailment about which the doctors have said that there is no cure. So what do I believe? If I don't have Allah, then I believe that there is no cure as a absolute statement. If I believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then I take the same statement, there is no cure with the doctors. They are not saying there is no cure, they are saying we do not know what the cure is. But does Allah know what the cure is? Of course. Of course. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said Allah did not create any ailment without its cure. Everything has a cure. Corona has a cure. The question, the key is to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for it. Today we have fractured our lives. We have left seeking a cure for corona to the research scientists and scholars and researchers. Their job to find a vaccine. How many of those, while they are doing their work in the laboratory, are saying, Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah. How many of them are making dua to say, Ya Allah, I am doing this work, but you know, you are the one for the cure. Give me the cure. How many? I don't know, I'm asking you. And if you tell me nobody, then tell me why. Why? What prevented Muslims from studying science? What prevented Muslims from becoming scientists and research scholars and studying the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu? All we seem to do is the Turkish couple who developed the vaccine for Pfizer, we take that clip and we send it around on WhatsApp and we think our job is done. This is my job. Forwarding stuff on WhatsApp. The Turkish couple developed a vaccine, but who did the original research? Who has the original formula of that thing? Where did that come from? Was that a Muslim who did it? I think it's important, because if we focus ourselves like that and we say, what is our contribution in this life, then we will also, inshallah, direct our education in those lines. To see the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in creation. Where we can make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in keeping with His majesty and grace. Because we recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and in His signs, the more we see His signs, the more we recognize the glory of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, brothers and sisters, really seriously think about this. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those who contribute, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala supports them. Even if they are not Muslim. Those who are just, who are on justice, Allah supports them even if they are not Muslim. But those who don't contribute, who are net consumers, and those on top of that who are oppressors and who are unjust, they lose the support of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I need to ask myself, you need to ask yourself, we need to ask ourselves collectively, where are we? Are we those who have the help of Allah, or are we those who have lost the help of Allah? My brothers and sisters, seriously, let us think about these things. So Zakaria alayhi salam, as I mentioned to you, the reason I said all this was because the way to ask dua, Allah said, Ud'uni astajib lakum. Ask me, I will accept, I will listen to you, I will give you. So there are three things that we need to remember about dua. Number one is, when you are making dua, present to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala your weakness, your need, your pain, your suffering. Talk to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala about this. Yeah, this. Allah knows everything, but Allah wants to hear it from you. So tell Him your story. Second thing is, ask Him, when you ask Him in keeping with His majesty and grace. Don't limit that. Don't say, give me, Ya Allah, I'm so hungry, give me at least one meal. What kind of dua is that? What kind of dua is that? Ya Allah, I'm so hungry, remove this hunger from me. Solve my problem once and for all. Why do you ask for one meal? Ask in keeping with the grace and majesty of Allah. What are you? You are one little human being on a planet which is less than one grain of sand on a beach as far as Allah is concerned. And you want to limit that also by saying, give me one roti. La hawla quwwata illa billah. Ask Allah in keeping with His majesty and grace. Ya Allah, give me. Shaitan will come and tell you, no, where is the logic for this and what is the means? Kick him out. Kick him out. Tell him, I'm not interested in your advice. Get out. I'm asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The logic is that Allah can give. The logic is He is ala kulli shayin qadir. That is the logic. So, ask only Allah, because He is the only one who likes those who ask. Number two, ask Him in keeping with His majesty and grace. And number three, and this is the tough one, remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you the best at a time when it is right for you to get that. Now this is where patience and sabr comes into the picture. We continue to ask, we continue to work, but we don't give up asking. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala listens to all the dua and Allah accepts all the dua, provided the slave does not lose hope in it. And provided the slave does not say that, oh, but you know, I've been asking for so long and I didn't get it, so I'll leave it. No. Your job is to ask, so ask. Your job is not to wonder about when will it come, how will it come, you know, what is the circumstances, I asked for so many days, it didn't come, so many years. No. That's not your job. So leave Allah's job to Allah. It's your job to ask. So ask. How many times to ask? Until there is breath in your body. Keep on asking, keep on asking, keep on asking. And remember that Allah promised to give, and Allah does not go back on His promises. Uduni astajib lakum. Allah said this. وَإِذَا ثَالَكَ عِبَادِ عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ إِذَا دَعَانِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, yes. When my slave asks about me, I am close to him, let him ask me and I will give him. Allah said He will give. Allah will give. We have no doubt about this. But our job is to keep on asking. Our job is not to let up on that. Our job is not to give up asking. Our job is not to say, oh, but you know, I asked so many times, nothing happened. No, that's not your job. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives when it is right. The example I always give people is, little child, little boy, or little girl, maybe they are 10 years old, 12 years old, they ask their father, they really want to drive their father's car, it's a beautiful car. He said, Daddy, can I drive your car? Please, can I drive your car? Father says, yeah, sure, of course. Of course, I will allow you to drive your car, drive my car. So they ask again, The father never refuses. The father never says, no, I won't let you drive the car. You will never drive the car. No, he says, no, of course you will drive the car. Of course you drive the car. But after some time, this child says, you know what, my dad just talks. What's the father doing? The father is saying, yes, you will drive the car, but you are 10 years old. You will drive the car when you are 18. You get a license. That's the legal age for driving a car, not at the age of 10. But I'm not closing the door for you. I'm not saying you can't do it. You'll never. No, you will do it, but at the right time. So when we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala something, I say, Ya Allah, give me this. Allah is saying, yes, I will give you. Definitely I will give you, but you have to wait. Because I don't want to give it to you at a time when I know that you will make a disaster of that thing if I give it to you. At 10-year-old, you drive the car, you're going to kill yourself and go to jail and put me in jail as well. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, no, I will give you and I know what is the best time for it. So ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone and not anybody else. Number two, ask in keeping with His majesty and grace. And remember, in that asking itself, there is relief. And third is, have patience. Have patience, keep on asking, don't give up asking. Ask Allah to accept all that you ask Him with afia and khair. And that's the beauty. Al-Abbas bin Abdul Muttalib, the uncle of the Prophet, he said, Ya Rasulullah, teach me a dua. And he said, ask Allah, I say, Allahumma inni as'aluka al-afia. He said, oh Allah, I ask you for afia. I ask you for khair. I ask you for everything good in what you give me. Because you can get something, if you get it without afia, it has problems. I say, ask for the afia, for this. So Allahumma inna nas'aluka al-afia. Oh Allah, we ask you for afia. Ask Allah to give you with afia everything you ask Him, inshallah, bil khair. And then to add to that from His grace and from His majesty and from His glory and from His generosity, inshallah. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin. Wa salaamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.